Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another Baseball America Hot Sheet podcast. If you listen to us by now, you know who's here and you know where we're coming from. But if you don't, I'm Josh in Raleigh, and that's Jeff in Massachusetts. How are you doing there, Jeff?
Not too bad, Josh. Not too bad. I'm excited to be on this Hot Sheet, Hot Week show.
Well, I mean, you say that, but I did have to spend weeks going through your agent and your handlers to get you on again this week. Your contract had run out and, you know, we had to re-up you for another season. So I'm glad you're back. I'm glad the contract worked out and the check is in the mail. But again, if you followed along with us, you know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Hot Sheet, which isn't available publicly just yet, but we've written it. And through the magic of Zoom, we will be talking about it before it's out. So this week, the Hot Sheet is led by none other than James Outman of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who usually have good prospects, and it turns out continue to have good prospects, and that is why they win a lot of baseball games. Jeff, what stood out about James Outman's week that put him atop the Hot Sheet heap that you picked this week?
Yeah, I think if you you take a look at the week that Outman had, and I think that he actually, if I'm not mistaken, had just been demoted from the Dodgers within the last couple of days or weeks leading up to last week. I'm pretty sure he was up with the major league club, and then was sent down to AAA with Oklahoma City, and just had an unbelievable week. It was 12 for 21. 14 RBIs. He had 5 doubles, 3 triples, 2 home runs. You do that in a week where you have 10 extra base hits and 14 RBIs. More often than not, you are, probably going to be pretty high up on the Hot Sheet if you're a decent prospect. And, he's kind of an interesting player. I think was sort of a late bloomer and, really good athlete, decent approach, and there's some bat to ball skills there, and there's certainly some power as well, but really interesting athletic outfielder that, I don't know if he's good enough to play every day in LA, at least for the Dodgers, but potentially could find himself as a long-term, everyday regular, I think, just because of the variety of skills.
And then you go down the list a little bit to number 5, and there's the catcher for the Rockies, who I think is having the quietest monster season in the minor leagues, and that's Hunter Goodman. He's made several Hot Sheets this year. I think he made it last. Yes, I know he made it last week too, because I cleared out our master Hot Sheet document and there he was. I didn't know until I started researching. I did know that he was leading the minor leagues in total bases, but right now he is tied with Moises Gomez, of course, for the most home runs in the minor leagues with 33. And he is tied for the most extra base hits in the minor leagues with 66. This is, as we record on Monday. And it sounds like, Jeff, and you're more familiar with Hunter than most because you do the Rockies system, that this young fella has big, big, big power. And it wasn't just because he got to play in Cal League parks or anything else that was artificially created by park factors. He just can hit the ball a country mile.
Yeah, he was here on the Cape back in 2019 as an underclassman. You know, he's with Memphis as a catcher. And he had huge power, like some of the biggest power on the Cape. Was in the home run derby that year. You know, I caught a couple of games as well, and it's really loud. So he's the type of player that, you know, should be, I would imagine, with Hartford probably next season. Could move pretty fast after that. He always had swing and miss concerns. Their approach is really what the issue was. It's still present. There's certainly no question about that. That he does still swing and miss, you know, quite a bit. Strikeout rate is above 30%, you know, over about 40 plus games at the high level. Doesn't walk a whole lot either, but there's sort of like enough bat to ball skills at this point with like probably 70 power. I don't think I'm being over the top saying that. It might even be more. I mean, frankly, it's huge, huge raw juice. And you're getting that from a catcher. And there's been enough bat to ball, I think, just as a professional that he's been able to tap into it. But when you're a low walk hitter that swings and misses a little bit, has to be aggressive. It's a really tough line to sort of toe if you're going to make it as an everyday big leaguer. But if there's any position where that's going to work, it's probably catcher. So we'll see. And, you know, certainly Coors is a great place to play if you're relying on, you know, higher batting averages and balls in play.
You know, too, I want to stick on the Rockies for a second. And again, I'm going to quiz you since you made the list and you picked all these guys. The helium guy this week is Dion Jorge, who, again, is in the Rockies system. So what made him your helium guy?
Yeah, I think like, you know, the big thing for me anytime I'm looking at the helium guys from week to week is, especially like once short season started, well, I guess it's a bad way to put it, but like rookie complex ball started, I wanted the helium guy to be somebody from the complex, more or less, or a guy that maybe like kind of broke out down there and then was promoted up. And I think at this point, like some of the bigger names on the complex are probably too big of a deal to probably use in this example, but you know, still young. I think he signed a couple of years ago. I know he's 19, which is older for the Dominican Complex League, but you know, I think when you think about all the restrictions and everything else over the last couple of years, some of those age factors go out the window. But he's hit. I mean, he's hit for average. He's hit for power, not a ton, but some. And I think the biggest thing for me with complex level hitters is, you know, I want guys that, you know, have shown approach that scouts will sort of back it up as well. That like, all right, yeah, this guy, you know, is not swinging and missing like crazy. He's not chasing like crazy. Cause sometimes those guys that are a little, aggressive can run into some, and that approach really gets exposed once they get into the full season ball. I mean, think about all the guys over the years that have had big breakout campaigns in the Dominican Summer League, and then they come here and really effectively turn out to be not much of anything. But yeah, you know, Jorge is a guy that the reports have been good dating back to, you know, when Battler added him to their Rockies list after the international signee period.
Yeah, and you know, I think I share your views on what a helium guy is. I generally like to pick from the youngest of the young and who are, you know, putting up stats and try to maybe filter out the noise from the sample. And a lot of times, sometimes it works. I mean, we have a guy on our helium or who made helium a few weeks ago, Miguel Ulloa, who is an Astros right-hander who has graduated from helium status to full on hot sheet status. He's at number 7 on this list because he struck out something like 18 in 2 appearances this week. Amazing. No starts. He was the back end of a piggyback, one start, and then kind of a bridge to from rehabbing starter Josh James to the bullpen out in Fayetteville. But fittingly, I got his only real clunker in the last 2 months or so, and even five earned in like three innings or something. But other than that, he's been absolutely nails. I think I wrote it in the hot sheet that you will see tomorrow. Let me see if I can pull up that stat, because it's absolutely nuts what he's been doing. He struck out 60 hitters in the last 33 2/3 innings since July 1st. And it's not like he's out here throwing 95, not that big a number anymore. It's not like he's out here throwing 98, or he doesn't have a huge hammer breaking ball. What he's got is a fastball that is just hard to hit, and he pairs it with a nice little sweeping slider cutter thing. And dudes at this level just cannot hit it if he throws it in the strike zone. And he can really dominate lineups with just those two pitches. He'll sprinkle in a changeup. I saw a couple pretty good ones when I did see him. And there's a curveball in there too. But you know, he's the Astros just find intriguing low dollar Latin American arms, and they turn them into playoff pieces. I think we mentioned this last hot sheet, since I think Uyola is a consecutive hot sheet, but someone alerted me to the fact that the 2018 Buies Creek Astros team, which played in front of nobody, and they played in front of low-level Florida State League crowds. They had 28 big leaguers on that club, I think. Future big leaguers come through there, and that's not even counting rehabbers.
That's crazy.
It's bananas. It's, you know, B-A-N-A-N-A-S, bananas. But yeah, Uyola this week has really jumped, and I'm feeling good about putting him on the helium. He has not let any of the helium fall out and let him fall back to earth.
Well, that's what we want. We want the helium guys to catch the helium and ride it into the hot sheet. Like,
but it gets
Gabriel Martinez did that. I think Miguel Blaze did that. We've had a few. Uh-huh.
Yes, our don't quote us on this, but our helium picks are perfect this year. But if you get too much helium, you float directly into the sun. Astronomers, astrologists, do not call me on that, because I think it's true.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. But before we go on with this malarkey any further, we're going to take a short ad break right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualification preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we're back. And, you know, speaking of pitchers, the Yankees pitching this week, or Yankees prospect pitching, went off. And it's not the guys you would expect. You know, it's not Will Warren in Double-A. They traded a lot of their upper-level arms, frankly. They're trading a lot of guys you would expect to go off. But Matt Sauer, who checks in, I believe, at 3 on this hot sheet, a 20 second rounder. He struck out 17 hitters, which is a Somerset franchise record. And I know people are going to say, oh, they've only been affiliated for two seasons. Well, no, they were a franchise before that. They've been playing baseball for a long time. And that is the most strikeouts by any Somerset Patriot ever. And it, I think it's almost more amazing that he pitched eight innings, which doesn't happen too often either.
No.
So I give a lot of credit to the Yankees pitching doctors, the pitching coaches who have turned a lot of kind of anonymous guys into guys and have gotten the best out of maybe guys who aren't so famous. Sauer's one, and then Richard Fitz, their fourth rounder from last year out of Auburn, who had an okay season by some metrics in the Florida State League. He'd struck out a lot of guys and walked very few. He allowed way too many home runs and more than you'd expect in the Florida State League. But he took a perfect game into the eighth inning, which, again, dudes pitching into the eighth inning is not something you see in the minor leagues very often. I don't care, you know, what they're doing. It just doesn't happen. Like, I saw a guy this week. He had 61 pitches through six innings, and they pulled him. So what I'm saying, you don't see guys pitch into the eighth inning very often. I think I can count on two fingers the number of nine-inning complete games. No, three. Three fingers, the number of nine-inning complete games I've seen. Yeah, maybe four. Nick Tepesh, that's a no-hitter. Hector Noesi, back in the day with Trenton. His name, Jean-Marc Gomez, with Akron, pitched a perfect game. And Yanni Chirinos for Durham a few years ago. On a night where I was expressly going to see relievers, pitched a complete game shutout. That was pretty fun. But my point is the Yankees pitching prospects who might be a little more under the radar went off this past week. So kudos to those guys for taking up two spots on the hot sheet with their bananas pitching performances. That's the second time I've mentioned bananas, and this podcast is not sponsored by Chiquita. And we talked a lot about, you know, catchers up and down this list. One more I want to talk about is Moises Ballesteros with the Cubs. He is one of my favorites, and I just wrote about him for an article you'll see recently, because I am a sucker for young players, and I am a sucker for Latin American players. If you know me, you know that's kind of my thing. He is a big boy, and he has a big bat, and he can hit for average and power, and he throws pretty well, and he's in low A at 18, which, you know, sets a lot of alarm bells up in the old, this guy is a prospect, you better go watch him. He took one of the prettiest swings I've seen all year in down east the other day, and I was so mesmerized by what had happened, I forgot to pull the trigger on the camera until it was too late, and I got him loafing out of the batter's box, but that was about it. So, missed opportunity, but I feel like he'll be around a little longer. Point is, he raked in the ACL and is continuing to rake in the Carolina League. He's just a really intriguing prospect who's adding to the rebuilding of the Cubs system. I don't know what you've heard about Moises Ballesteros, Jeff, but I'll let you tell me.
A lot of what you said, the numbers back it as well. He was a guy that was actually on the recent article I wrote about, you know, I guess hitters that were potentially good targets in fantasy, but I just think in general, guys who have good underlying metrics, and Ballesteros is one of them. And he's got a really fun name to say as well, but huge power there, as you mentioned. The numbers back that. There's bat to ball skills. There's some approach, especially when you consider how old he is and what the level is. I think we always got to take the chase rates with sort of a grain of salt and sort of see at the type of pitches they're swinging at, the type of contact they're making, high contact quality, and if there's an opportunity that he can stick behind the plate long term, he could be a really interesting player. And we've seen a lot of these bat first catcher profiles typically, you know, they get a lot of love on our list, but I think a lot of that is because they're viewed and rated very highly by front offices and scouts, etc.
You know, we're going to move to what our plans are for the coming week. We're going to move off of the subject of thicker catchers and move to wiry, strong, super talented, nowhere near under the radar prospects, because I am crossing a best player I haven't seen ever off my list. When I am, by the time you hear this tomorrow, I will be driving the many miles to Chattanooga to see Ellie De La Cruz, one of the most electric, if not the most electric player in the minor leagues. I am hoping that I can get two home runs out of him in three games and he can cross the 30-30 threshold. But even if he doesn't, I am fairly certain I'm going to see something outstanding over the course of 27 innings from Tuesday through Thursday on Lookout Mountain. I'm hoping I get to see him light that the Chattanooga choo-choo up at least once. You know, you've heard nothing but great things about him for the last two seasons or whatever it's been. And he's just, I mean, they're swing and miss. Yeah, there might be some swing decision issues, but he does all sorts of fun things anytime he's on the diamond, and eats 500-foot bombs, taking extra bases, running like a gazelle, throwing like a rail gun. Yes, JJ, I said rail gun. He's going to do something fun. So I guess my question to you, Jeff, is, on a scale of 2 to 8, how jealous are you that I get to go see Ellie De La Cruz?
Just because of the way you said Ellie De La Cruz just now, I'm going to say an 8. It was about a 4 before because I've seen Ellie De La Cruz, but not really in a great – I saw him in the Futures game. So not a great – not exactly a great example there, but still – had you said Ellie De La Cruz in a more
like a normal person
fashion,
yeah,
I wouldn't have been as excited. Because you made it sound very Jim Rome-ish, I'm in. So thank you, Josh Norris.
Well, here's the thing. I listened to a lot of Jim Rome growing up, so that makes sense. I was probably the only 12 or 13 year old turning into Jim Rome every day. And as a matter of fact, I tried to call anyone, and whoever their call, I forget what the name of the call screener is, heard my voice and immediately said, too young, click. And I didn't get a word in. But either way, Jim Rome or not, I'm very, very, very excited. And I'm going to be driving the 7 hours, I hope. It's going to be effortless because I know what's at the end of the rainbow. Jeff, what do you got cooking?
Yeah, I got a few games this week. You know, Brian Mata actually makes his AAA debut in Worcester tomorrow, I believe. Not sure if we're going to be able to make that one. There's a chance. But I do have Reading in Hartford all week. So I'm going to head over there. I don't know if they haven't announced Friday, Saturday, Sunday yet. I know McGarry got pulled the last time because of some blisters. I don't know if it's something that has cleared itself up or if he was put onto like the 7-day IL or not. I didn't check before I got on air, unfortunately. But I have Abel and Painter as well. Excited to see both those guys. I assume they're probably going to go Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll see how it shakes out at the end of the week. But excited to see both those arms. You know, what really gets me going at the ballpark this time of year is seeing the best arms I haven't seen before. And those are two are probably the best arms that I haven't had the opportunity to see pitch live yet. And I think it's a pretty good way to kind of wrap up last couple of weeks of the season here. So, yeah, I'm probably going to be two of the better arms I'm going to see until I get out to Arizona.
I'm going to make a hot take here. Andrew Painter is going to be the best arm you've seen all year. Barring a fiasco, Andrew Painter is going to be the best arm you've seen all year. And yeah. I just checked, McGarry is not on the IL, so.
I don't know, Josh. I mean, I've seen some good arms.
I know you have. That's why
I've seen Kyle Harrison. I've seen Ricky Tiedemann.
I know what you've. I know you've seen Yuri Perez. I'm not really counting what you've seen at the Futures game because that's exhibition innings. Yeah, but for extended period,
I did see Gavin Williams.
That's yep.
You know,
I think this is gonna be better than all of them.
All right.
So we'll see. Now, I love this bet, not even a bet, this promise, because all you have to do is come back, and even if he is, just be disingenuous and say, nah, and I lose.
Yeah, I think the only thing he has working against him is it's really primarily like two pitches. So,
but he'll
if you want to like really get me, you want to really get me going, I I got to like show me three really good pitches. And I'll also say, like, I don't think I've seen as good of a pitching performance as I saw from Marco Raya, like second week of the season for Fort Myers at Dunedin. I mean, like, he shoved. It was one of the better pitching performances I've ever seen in my life. And I think he only went seven, but I mean, he was throwing three different pitches that looked great. Was like mixing it up. I think it was a sub 2 hour game, which is my first experience like with a pitch clock actually was that game. So I like left like, oh my God, I have like several hours left to like do things now. Like, this is usually a 4 hour excursion. It was only two tonight. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I saw Bayo at a couple different levels. He was pretty good. But yeah, no, I think you're probably got a good chance of it being Painter or Abel, you know, or maybe it's McGarry. You know, I love me some McGarry. So if I get some McGarry, it might be McGarry. But I'm going to be driving back and forth from Hartford a lot this weekend.
And you get to see them against Zach Veen, so that should be pretty cool. I will say too on Andrew Painter, I get that the rap on him is that it's two pitches. That changeup is pretty good. It's a pretty good changeup.
Yeah, I don't think he needs it typically, or the curveball. Like, but he
the curveball. The curveball was not good when I saw it, but he didn't need it. So, but the changeup when he needed it was outstanding. Like, I had one scout suggest to me, not sarcastically, I don't think, that the Phillies should consider putting him in the big league bullpen right now. And with the stuff he has, I'm not inclined to strongly disagree.
But don't do the Phillies.
Well, that's why I'm not running the Phillies. But anyway, we're running out of time here. In the next couple of days, we're going to have stuff from Best Tools coming up on the website. I did the Arizona and Florida Complex League top 10s, which came together almost by accident. We're going to have all those contents coming out. JJ is going to keep going on this minor league unionized beat and the attempt to be unionized and the fallout from the Sine suit. So as always, there's going to be good stuff, and Jackson Chorio is on the cover. If you followed us on Twitter, you saw that Jackson is on the cover for the first time, and it probably won't be the last. For this week's edition of the Hot Sheet Podcast, I'm Josh in Raleigh. That's Jeff in Massachusetts. Thanks again. Bye.